Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Bharat Forge Limited Q1 FY 2023 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Kalyani. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining our call today. As is usual, I'll take you through a quick explanation and you know, talk through our results, and then we'll be happy to take your questions and answers. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you for our Q1 analyst call. Overall, I think we've had a decent performance. We've had a quarter-on-quarter 5% growth. We've had a bottom EBITDA growth of about 7%. We've had one of our highest ever export numbers. This has largely been driven by a couple of factors. One is our export of passenger car components having grown very substantially to its highest ever number of almost 200 crores. We are getting tremendous new traction in this area from existing customers and also from new customers, both for existing products and new products. I'm also very happy to report that we are getting business from geographies that we've never been supplying to. We also see other opportunities of non-automotive coming from those geographies as we begin to understand those markets and you know, build some presence there. Aerospace now accounts for more than 10% of our industrial export revenue. This same number for last year was 2%. This is the result of many years of hard work and the start of ramp up of couple of our customer programs. We now have, in addition to these programs that are active, two new programs that are under ramp up and totally two new customers in addition who have given us long-term orders. We will now have three distinct product segments which will allow us to create almost like product verticals within Bharat Forge for aerospace and become a large meaningful supplier in these areas. I believe that the best years in terms of growth for aerospace for us are now about to start, and you will see YoY very strong growth. As I mentioned, we've also added two new customers during the quarter in aerospace. We have won over rupees 350 crores for the India business in the quarter across automotive and industrial applications. In fact, we see tremendous new opportunities in terms of customers looking at us for business in India for components and aggregates, and we see quite a lot of growth opportunities. We have completed the acquisition of JS Auto at an EV of 490 crores. This is a good company. It was purchased on first of July, so it will be consolidated in Q2. This company will be earnings accretive from the first quarter itself. Besides the products that it currently makes, it has tremendous headroom for growth. We can double this capacity with almost no CapEx and double the revenues. Additionally, we get into a lot of new sectors, which we didn't have as much presence and become a bigger and stronger supplier in areas such as construction equipment, mining equipment, renewable energy, hydraulics, and many other industrial products. Our balance sheet continues to remain robust. We have a net debt equity of 0.2 and a net debt divided by EBITDA of 0.75. I believe that in the extremely volatile times that we are living in now, it's very important to have a strong financial base and the ability to take advantage of opportunities as they arise, and also the ability to withstand shocks when they arise. Because nobody knows what's on the horizon. 1 year ago, we couldn't have predicted what's happening in Ukraine either. Not that any of us want something like that to happen, but I think it's best to be prepared. Our European operations have had stable performance in spite of extremely high input prices and slightly weaker end markets. The end markets have got weak for multiple reasons, one of them being tremendous inflation that is there in Europe and the cost of living impact on families there, and something that is a once-in-a-lifetime kind of scenario which many people in Europe have never faced. Energy prices in Europe have gone up by more than 5 times, from something like 7.5 euro cents a kilowatt hour to now over 40 to 41 cents per kilowatt hour. I'll talk more about the impact of that going forward. So in spite of that, we've had about 8.5% EBITDA margin. Our new facility in the US has just commenced manufacturing operation in the April to June period. And as is, let's say, expected for any new facility, it's going to take time for us to prove out the parts, do our PPAPs and ramp-ups, and get product approval in place. And then we will move to a break-even and profit situation. So we are currently running at about a little over $1 million a month kind of EBITDA loss. But we expect this to come down as time goes by, and we hope that by the end of the year this should be above the red numbers. I'd also like to add that this facility is going to be producing specialty chassis components for largely EV and hybrid programs for European, US, Japanese and Korean high-end passenger car companies and pickup trucks and SUVs. The full capacity is booked out for the first phase, and we have got enough orders in hand for setting up the second phase now, which we will now kick off. So this will allow us to double our size of business in this aluminum forging facility in the US over the next 3 years. Coming to defense, as I mentioned last time, that the ATAGS gun has passed all its trials, and I'm extremely proud and happy to report that our artillery gun, which is co-developed with DRDO, will be showcased in the 15th August Amrit Mahotsav of Independence Day at Red Fort as a part of the 21 gun salute. So this is a matter of great pride for us that it will be shown to the whole nation live over television, and something we look forward to. On e-mobility, we are seeing good traction with domestic OEMs, both for components, subsystems, and for their local requirements, because our components are completely FAME compliant. Torc Motors, which is the company we have invested in, has already started serial deliveries of their vehicles, and also are now supplying three-wheeler powertrains in fairly large quantities. New plant for this company is under final installation, and from November they will be starting production in a new plant, which will increase the capacity almost 10x. We have many other initiatives in place, both at the organizational level, technology level, digitization, and organization structure, in order to manage and, let's say, grow at a faster pace. And we'd also like to showcase some new products that we're launching in the next month or two. And post our Q2 results, we will would like to organize an analyst day, where we are able to show you a lot of these new products and talk through what is happening in the business and what we hope to do in much more granular detail. And I hope that many of you will have the chance to join us. I think that's really all I wanted to say as an introduction. I have with me members of our finance, investor relations, and our business team, and we'll be happy to answer your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Congratulations on a strong performance for the quarter. First question is on the outlook for each of the segments that you operate in. If you could share, you mentioned some risks also. So what is the outlook for these segments? And in particular, in each of these segments, if there is something to highlight what Bharat Forge is doing to win additional business. And also on the defense business, outside the artillery guns, if you could share some update in terms of what is the progress there, what are the current revenue numbers?
Okay, my colleague Subodh will answer the first part. Second part I will answer.
So, thanks. So the outlook of you know, the various sectors that we are involved in, if I can go geographically. So in the U.S., the commercial vehicle segment, class 8, 7, 7 and 8 that we operate, at this point, you know, the orders are secure, with OEMs are secured until end of next year almost. And the rate of cancellations is not that high. The production of the OEMs is stable. There is a lot of talk about some recessionary conditions in the U.S. and so on and so forth. So we have all to wait and watch. But at this point, you know, at least as far as what we see on an operating ongoing business, it seems quite stable. We are not seeing any, you know, any difficult conditions as of now. As far as the car segment is concerned, again, similar comments. You know, there are some disruptions because of supply chain and those aspects moving, that continues. Only thing is it's not just semiconductors, it's a lot of other things. But overall, the production is still stable. As far as the industrial verticals go in the U.S., I would say they are operating at a stable level. There is not so much of a growth in that, but there is not so much of a decline either. What would be the impact of if there are any recessionary conditions? It remains to be seen. There is, of course, high inflation in the U.S., like there is everywhere. But the general impression is even if there is an inflation, even if there is a recession in the U.S., it may not be for a very long period. So it will be a quick one is the expectation. So we are, of course, watching this closely. We are doing everything we can to grow our share in these segments, not just in the U.S., but in all other segments in terms of, you know, trying to de-risk as much as possible. So that activity is ongoing. The same sectors in Europe. Europe is, of course, as we all know, a little more volatile than the U.S., particularly because of the impact of the war. The only good thing in Europe is we still see a reasonably strong commercial vehicle industry. The segment in which we operate are premium vehicle segments in the passenger car side. The demand there is also reasonably okay for now. So at this point, you know, we see relatively stable activity for us in North America and Europe. As far as the other geographies are concerned, we have, you know, we have growing presence. And as Mr. Kalyani mentioned, we are also breaking into new geographies. So we are trying to expand our business across all segments.
So I think to answer, to put it in a very summary way, I think most of our customers are still showing a lot of confidence in the year going forward, especially in the U.S. In Europe, people are talking on a shorter time horizon. But if you look at the advantages that we bring to the table, I think we are in a strong position. And that is why we continue to strengthen our position on our balance sheet, our technology, our customer traction and intimacy, and take advantage of whatever opportunities arise. And sometimes you have to create opportunities. So that's the way I'd look at it. You asked me a question about defense. So we have three verticals within defense. The one part of the business is our capital items, which is things that are procured for the fight and move and that kind of part of the business, which is artillery guns, your vehicles and other specialty products. The second is all your spares and consumables. So we currently have a well-balanced business between them. Currently our business is, I would say, between 300 to 400 crores a year of spares and consumables. And our business on the capital side is currently largely vehicle-led. And we have a business of roughly about 200 to 250 crores a year currently on the vehicle side. This can go up and we're looking at global opportunities in this. And we're also looking at global opportunities on the consumable side. So if you look at today, our total business, I would say it's somewhere in the region of 400-500 crores a year. And the 2-3 year horizon, or let's say 25-26 horizon, is how do we take this to 1500 crores a year? Plus, 300-400 crores of exports. So you're looking at growing the business at least 3x. And creating a suite of products that will keep giving us this kind of business going on. And also look at global opportunities, because some of the new products that are developed in India are really world class. And we have the opportunity to supply them globally.
Okay, great. We'll look forward to that. And just a second question on financials. I see that gross margins or raw material sales have actually come down. So if you could give some color, because steel price has actually gone up. So how is there some inventory, and how to think about gross margins over next?
So there is some inventory impact, but if you look at the operating margin, which is raw material and variable cost, then it is more or less stable as compared to last quarter. In fact, it has gone up by 0.4 basis points as compared to last quarter. So you should look at raw material plus variable cost.
Okay, so now that the steel price is coming down, I was just trying to understand how does this evolve as we head into the coming quarters.
In this quarter, we have not seen any of the softening of prices. It might, we are looking at some reduction in prices, but for this quarter, there was no reduction in prices.
Oh, this quarter, you mean the quarter ending June?
Quarter,
right?
Which ended in June.
Okay. But what I'm asking is that July to September, we should expect some decline. So will the RM to sales improve further, or will it stay here? Just trying to understand that.
If the prices goes down, then you will see some improvement in margin. But it's optical. At the time of increases, it's optical. Decrease in EBITDA. But what you should look at is EBITDA per ton, which is on an improving basis.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I'll come back in a few.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Binay Singh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi team, thanks for the opportunity. The first question is on our European business. Is the full impact of the inflationary pressures that, gas prices and all that we are seeing in Europe visible in this quarter's earnings?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Secondly, on the North Carolina sort of facility, our U.S. forging facility, earlier we had talked about $80 to $85 billion revenues in phase one. So that should largely play out in FY24, right?
Yes.
So to an extent, FY23 is the year of break-even, whereas FY24, you will start to generate sort of mid-single digit or higher margin in that.
Yes. Absolutely. 24, we will have a positive margin for sure. And as I mentioned earlier, we now need to very quickly start the setup of the second phase, because we have
orders for almost 4 million pieces. And our first line only has capacity of about 2.2. So we will be able to double our business in by about 26.
And is it fair to assume that the margins therein, when the first phase is fully operational, will at least be similar to the levels that you had seen in Europe, which is high single digit or so?
No, I would say that slightly higher than, I would say, you know, 10, 11, 12% should be doable. When it stabilizes. You're talking about EBITDA margins, right?
Right, yes.
I would say 10%.
And then just looking at the aero business, you know, it's it seems like a pivot this quarter, right? So finally, we are seeing the revenue scale up. And earlier, we had often talked about, you know, an aspirational target of $100 million coming from this vertical. Any timeline you would think that giving them two customer orders, three production?
I'm not going to give you a timeline, but I will only say that we are definitely on track to achieve that.
Yeah, that is good to know. And lastly, just two housekeeping questions.
You know, I'll give you an example. If you follow our PV story, when we talked about it, you know, about 5 years ago, you know, people didn't know where we were going to get this and were a little skeptical. But we achieved it. And the same thing, I would say, will play out in this.
Yeah, this is actually very encouraging to see because this is where the PV business in terms of contribution used to be in FY16.
Exactly. So 15. You will see the same thing.
Now, yeah. And in fact, I think the showcase of the guns at the Independence Day, and in fact, all the commentary that is coming from your side, it seems that on that side of business also, we should see an order inflow this year, finally taking place.
Well, all the signs are pointing towards that direction. So let's hope.
Yeah, no. And just two housekeeping questions. One is, what is the USD INR realization for the quarter? And secondly, if you could just share the agriculture number within domestic industrial business, the agri business.
Our realization was 7,800. I'll tell you the... What? Agri was about 55 crores. Any other question?
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, team. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ronak Sarda from Systematics Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So first question is on the export passenger vehicle business. You know, like you just alluded, it has seen a very secular growth. So if you can help us understand, you know, what worked for us there, what kind of products have we added over the last few years, and what's the trajectory like over the next 2 to 3 years?
See, what worked for us is we have been working on this very consistently for the last 5-7 years, and in any passenger car business, particularly when it happens from offshore, you know, there is a very high degree of credibility involved because the volumes are high, the customers are very you know, demanding and so on. So let's say over the last 3, 4, 5 years we have been performing and doing our bit, and now we are you know, we have established a very strong track record of deliverability, and based on that we are gaining traction to grow, especially because, you know, the same cannot be said about the supplier base in the outside world. So we bring in a much more credibility and much more dependability as compared to them. So we are seeing that traction, and that is something that we continue to leverage on, and you know, we are expanding our product offering as well as we speak. So it's a combination of various things.
Right.
So what we've also done is, you know, traditionally we used to only make engine components. One of the areas where we've gotten into is now transmission and driveline components. Highly complicated and highly differentiated products. So products that companies used to make in-house, we are now making and supplying in a fully machined condition.
Right. Got it. Right. And you know, a question on the overall capex for FY23. If you can help us understand standalone plus overseas, what would be the capex?
BFL will look at a capex of about 250 crores in India, Our EV business will be somewhere in the 125 crore or so region. In the US, our total capex only for the second phase, if we do it, will be about 75 million over a period of 2 years. So that will be actually next year and year after next. It will not be incurred this year. And in Europe, it will be a small, I would say, 10-15 million capex, which is basically for machining and some value add, etc. So just to recap, the capex in India will be 250 plus about 125 or so, 375. And the other two capexes will be over 2 years.
Got it. Okay. Including the electric vehicle capex or that is...
Electric vehicle will be building two new plants.
Right. So on electric vehicle, on the talk side, I mean, if you can help us understand where do we see, the overall, let's say, revenue, potential breakup between, let's say, the OEM part where we are selling motorcycles and then the components and...
We are not selling motorcycles. Torque is selling motorcycles.
Okay. And the component and the subsystems will be from Bharat Forge or everything?
All components and subsystems will be from us. So motor controller, BMS, battery, all that will be made by us.
Right.
Till the Q2, because I'd really like you to see it. We'll give you a very good idea of what we're doing when we have our post Q2 analyst call. Meet, rather.
Got it. So we'll wait for that then. Thank you. That's from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pramod Amthe from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Amit. This is with regard to your industrial division where you have added the inorganic capacity and looks like the way the GDP forecasts are shaping up for the global markets that run up for exports or industrial can be cut short. So how are you looking at the industrial division export opportunity in case there is a weakness or the recession type of environment builds up in the global market one? Or do you like to add up any more capabilities there as an opportunity going forward?
So as I mentioned before, I see the industrial vertical as one of our biggest growth drivers. Today our industrial vertical is roughly 1,000 crores. When we add JS Auto to it, it becomes about 1,400 crores. And I think that we need to grow this at a, strong double-digit rate CAGR over the next 3 to 4 years. And I think that is what you should get from it. I think we have plenty of opportunity. We have good facilities, good people, most importantly, and very good customers who are all growing their business with us. So we are going to grow this business quite substantially. I think you'll be quite happy to see the way this grows in the next 2-3 years.
So you are not worried about the capex cycles getting shortened in those developed markets and then you may have to delay your ramp-up plan?
No, not at all.
And second one is with regard to the global CV cycle. Considering that you have a much longer experience in handling those cyclicality, do you see this time the cyclical, the up and downs or the down cycle will be as steep in the past, or you should get from the customers that since we didn't hit the peak itself properly because of supply constraint, the volatility will be much lesser going forward?
It's a very difficult question to answer. I think you have to look at it from two different geographies. In the US, the inflation is largely due to overall commodity price increases everywhere. In Europe, the inflation is due to everything that is happening globally plus what is happening uniquely in Europe, which is energy. So it is very difficult to be able to say that, it will be all the same everywhere. So therefore, I don't want to hazard a guess on this and, give you some answer. But the point is, if you build a business model where you have strong customer relations, you understand your market well, you have strong financials, you have strong technology, and you have capacity, you can take advantage of good times and bad times. In good times, you have growth. In bad times, you have suppliers who die. Okay, not everybody can survive. So you just have to be quick, nimble, good at what you do, and strong. And then you can take advantage of both.
Sure.
I'm not saying that I'm going to buy anyone. I'm just saying that there will be companies that will, you know, no longer be viable, and, you know, somebody will have to produce what they used to produce.
And are there any new wins? Because now there are
lots, a lot. So we've had a lot of new wins. We've had new wins in PASCAR, in industrial, in CV, in defense, in aerospace, in every vertical.
Now, especially asking for the, since there's some traction on the CV, EV drive, which is happening in some of the markets.
Yeah, so we're doing a lot of work in that area. And once again, as I mentioned, in the Q2 post-results analyst meet, you will see a lot of new things that we're doing.
Sure. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vineet Bajaj, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
What is the demand of Class 8 truck in Europe and North America?
What is
the
demand for Class
8? Mr. Bajaj, my colleague who looks after the sales and business development will answer this question. One second, please.
Demand scenario, I am asking. We are getting new orders?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes, we are getting new orders.
Any numbers specific?
The market, you mean the market TIV numbers?
The
US truck market is supposed to be in the region of 300,000 trucks, and Europe is similar. Last year in the US it was about 275-280, so this year is expected to be close to 300, and Europe is more or less in the similar range.
Or is it China is a major competition from export side, or is it any other country?
China is not a competitor on the export side to a large extent in these markets. Other countries, yes, they are.
Mainly America.
Mainly in US and Europe.
Yeah, US and Europe.
Okay. China is not on the heavy truck markets?
They supply components to their own market. Not globally. The global companies are buying less and less from China.
Or any new products we are developing on EV side?
Yes, we are developing a lot of new products which will be shown in about 3 months.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Peter Agnell from KSMA Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Sir, I was just wondering, what is the geographical revenue breakup for this quarter? And how much of the revenue loss because of the situation in Europe and America this quarter? And what is the provision you have kept for the entire year if on a worst-case scenario basis?
It's there on page 6, the full revenue breakup by geography.
Oh, okay. And sir, what percentage of the steel price rises have you been able to pass on to customers?
You know, look, I am not going to share that level of detail with you. All I will say is that as a company, we have a policy of passing on price increases which are out of our control. Okay, whether it is raw material or other freight and things like that. But this is a dialogue. You know, we want more, they want to give less. It's never easy, but, you know, you have to find a good relationship and make it happen. But this will happen. Our team is working on it, and I think most of our customers have now agreed, and this will get corrected in the prices going forward.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Sonal Gupta from L&T Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good afternoon and thanks for taking my question. Amit, just like if I look at the numbers the last couple of years, I mean, X of the standalone, we've done a capex of 600 and 700 crores for the last 2 years. So, and so just trying to understand.
600 plus 700 are total.
Total, I mean annually, right? So
yeah.
Last 2 years, six. Yeah.
No. X standalone, we have not done that much capex.
I think, at least I was just looking from this was Q4 cash flow statement.
No, you're saying X standalone, means not including standalone, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct.
Yeah. So, and like you're mentioning again, like
basically, look, we built two new plants. We built a plant for aluminum forging in Germany, and we built a plant in the US.
Right. So, but like you're saying that we're going to be making like a 10 to 11, 12% EBITDA margin, so potentially single digit EBIT margins on these sort of investments. So your return on capital is fairly low.
No. Hold on. I did not talk about margin for those facilities. I said on an overall European basis, we will do a double digit EBITDA margin.
Oh, okay. So, these would be...
Aluminum business will be higher. Steel business will be lower. On a blended basis, it will be a good number. So, we wouldn't make investments if we didn't generate adequate returns. Please be rest assured.
Got it. And, okay. So the aluminum business should make like we made in BS80 a mid-teen sort of a margin to high-teen sort of a margin.
Yes, that is the goal.
Got it.
Mid-teens and above.
And just on the, I mean, like we're seeing wage cost pressure is also increasing, like even in European countries. So what is the outlook there now? Once you have these, I know currently you maintained about 8.5% EBITDA margin, but how do you see that sort of getting absorbed?
You know, I would say that we're still targeting to generate, 8.5% margin for the year. And hopefully, there are wage inflation issues. It's about 7 to 8% in Europe and maybe 8 to 9% in the US.
Right, and you have to reprice
your products.
Right. You think that will be possible or will take a longer negotiation process with the customer?
Look, it's not easy, but it's something that we have to do. And our team is committed to it. So we're done. We're working on it.
Got it. And just the last question, could you just talk about, on the oil and gas side, what is the traction you're seeing in the US? Because we have a fair amount of exposure to shale. And earlier you were talking about, a few years back of some new products and new customers being added in the space, and now that the space is coming back, what's the expectation?
So the shale gas, the fracking segment in the US is doing reasonably well from a demand point of view. As compared to say 5-7 years ago, the players are following a very fiscal prudent policy, so they are not they are controlling the amount of investments quite aggressively. So as such, we are seeing a fairly stable demand pattern there. We expect this demand pattern to be stable for the next maybe at least 1 or 2 years, if not more. We are also working on adding new products. We continue working on adding new products. In the last 2 years, we have added a couple of new products, and we are actually working on that. We are working on gaining traction there. So all said and done, we have a stable situation when it comes to the US fracking side of the business.
Got it. Got it. Great. Thank you so much for taking this.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I would request the participants to limit your questions to one per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Shah from Capital PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead, Mr. Shah.
Yes, congratulations for a great set of numbers. I just wanted to ask one question on the business side. When you say that, you know, we've got these particular order wins, what is our preparedness, you know, for these order wins, and how does the contract work, like from the day of signing to when does it go into production? And say, God forbid, if there are some, you know, uncertainties, do we have capacities that are fungible that we can, you know, use it?
Let me answer your second question first. First of all our facilities are fungible. Okay? We only have to change some tooling. Secondly, how long does it take after an order to get into production really depends on what the product is. If it's a product that we make regularly, then the whole product knowledge, process knowledge, everything is ready. Then it's just a matter of, you know, developing dies, tools, fixtures and all that and getting into production. That could be as much as 3 to 6 months. And then, of course, trials and testing and stuff like that. But if it's a complete new product or it's a product for a segment like aerospace or, you know, something like that, defense, which is very, very critical, that requires longer testing. That could be as much as, you know, 12 to 18 to 24 months. So it really depends. There's no one-size-fits-all answer for this. It depends on the product, it depends on the industry, it depends on the customer and the segment.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much. That's it. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ronak Sarda from Systematics Group. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity again. Just trying to understand on the Europe business, given the sharp variable cost increase in terms of energy prices. So how are the new order wins, new orders, you know, the new RFQs being priced? Are we getting the entire cost increase faster?
Any new orders that we are quoting will take new pricing into account. Okay? And obviously with existing clients, as I've mentioned about few times on this call, it's a process of working with your customers and, you know, getting reimbursed for whatever is the delta.
Got it. But the new orders, there is a clear acceptance of the new prices. So there is no issue in getting those.
Look, our team wouldn't quote, you know, a price which is not right, right?
Got it. Got it. Thanks for that. And second, lastly, the acquisition for JS Auto, has that amount been paid, and will that be part as a subsidiary, or that will be directly part of the standalone business?
It's under an industrial subsidiary. It's 100% owned and 100%. We paid all the money.
First of July.
Hello? So we have paid on, 1st of July, you said.
That's the day we bought the something, yeah.
Okay. And from accounting perspective, will this be part of standalone or,
it will be a part of consolidated accounts. It will be a subsidiary of Bharat Forge.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Thanks for that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Kumar Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. Sir, what sort of benefit do you see for export due to the high manufacturing cost in Europe?
See, there are multiple factors. One is, obviously, there will be a difference in cost right now. Second is, ability to continue manufacturing sustainably on a longer term, and availability of energy. So there are many factors. But please remember, it may also affect some of our customers. So there is right now a lot of shuffling taking place with large companies which are looking at, you know, where else they can produce things they produce in Europe in order to reduce their overall costs.
Okay. And sir, this quarter consolidated EBITDA is lower than the standalone on absolute basis because of the subsidy losses. So what is the outlook for the consolidated EBITDA margin going ahead?
So, you know, we've talked about this also in the past that any startup that we have, a greenfield startup, if you remove that, then we will continue to have a positive EBITDA. And once that also, you know, is 6 to 9 months get stabilized, it will all add positively to EBITDA.
And also, but, if you are comparing on a consolidated basis, if you are comparing with the earlier quarter, please be aware that since we have taken out the quarter lag between our consolidation, the sequential quarter is actually 6 months for overseas entities.
Last quarter.
But this quarter, subsidies manufacturing cost has gone up by around 1,000 bps. I mean, from 40% to 49%. If we deduct the standalone, then
you get on a call with our team separately and discuss this because I don't have this granular information.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Kalyani for closing comments.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and I really thank you and on behalf of our company and our team for your interest and questions. And if you have any further questions or require any more clarification, you know who to call in our company. I look forward to your continued support, and we will definitely keep you well advised, keep you advised well in time of the in analyst day that we will have in post Q2. I promise you it will be interesting and exciting, and you will see a lot of new things that we have done, and it will give you a glimpse into what Bharat Forge is transforming into in the next few years. So thank you very much. Have a happy Raksha Bandhan and wish you all good health. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Bharat Forge Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.